Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Lamas is both. Rebound is tapped out. And who's got it? Kemba Walker does. Kyrie will not give the foul. The clock will hit triple zeros. And Kemba Walker was beyond spectacular as he embraces Kyrie Irving at center court on Saturday against Philadelphia. I'm not sure he wasn't better tonight against a better effort on the other side. 43 for Kemba Walker as the Hornets come from 10 down in the fourth quarter and win again to get back to 500. And the Celtics' brutal 17-game stretch to end the season, to start the season, ends with them at 9-8. The final score, Charlotte 117, Boston 112.
All right, 4:03 here in the afternoon, Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's the FM dial, 98.5 FM dial in the Boston area. The simulcast goes across New England and the country on NBC Sports anywhere, anytime on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. All the replays, if you miss us live, the stream goes right up when you download that app. But if you miss the live stream, catch the replays that night or the next morning, and you're all caught up on Felger and Maz. On the Celtics, they lose again last night in Charlotte. And there's so many things that stand out to me. The fact that they didn't even play that bad and it still wasn't good enough. That's the first thing. Like, you watch that game and you didn't come away saying, well, boy, they suck. I mean, like the night before against Utah, that was a disgrace.
Yeah.
Okay. This one, they actually
offensively, they were pretty good.
Tried, played well for long stretches and looked like themselves, and it still wasn't good enough against a really mediocre team. A true Eastern Conference middler. And it still wasn't good. That's the broad takeaway. And then after, I think the sort of stuff that's sort of creeping in, like the finger pointing or backbiting or like these issues that they have to sort of figure out. The first to me was, well, just how Brad Stevens was treating it like a moral victory. Again, these are the Charlotte effing Hornets, who you haven't lost to there in like 4 or 5 years or something. I mean, a true, you know, mediocre team.
I mean, they are like they're a bubble team. Like, they're right on that playoff line.
You're true Eastern Conference middler, and that's being kind. You know, they're probably below average in the East. Borderline playoff team in the East. And Stevens is like, it's a moral victory. Play number four, Jimmy. Bill.
Well, this wasn't an inconsistent night. This was a special performance that beat us. You know, again, I think sometimes you have to take your hat off to him. That's a good team. It's a well-coached team. They play really hard, and he's, you know, on a great run. So I try to look at things objectively. Saturday night was disappointing in a number of ways. Tonight, we saw more of what we want to be.
Wow. So the team is that fragile where you have to treat – so there's now moral victories over the Charlotte effing Hornets?
I hadn't heard this until right now. That's infuriating. Because he might be the guy I'm the most mad at with this loss last night.
Yeah, with good reason, too. Keep going.
Well, it's like, I mean, what are we, 4 years ago? The little engine that could? When Isaiah first gets here and it's Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley and Tyler Zeller, who, by the way, sucks. Oh, my God, does he suck. He's painful to watch. Painful.
It's the other Zeller, actually.
Who was it?
You said Tyler. That was the one that was here. It's his brother that's there.
Oh.
It's his other one, yeah.
Oh, he didn't look the same.
No, that's because it's not him.
Because it's the other Zeller.
Oh, thank you for correcting me.
That's not Tyler.
That Zeller, though, last night?
Yeah.
Or does he effing blow?
Yeah, he smells.
He's the even worse Zeller.
He smells. Oh, does he suck? That was hard. It was hard watching that guy. Oh, that's not the same Zeller.
No, it's a different Zeller.
All right, never mind.
It's the bad Zeller.
Either way, he still blows.
It's Cody.
So anyway, what Thursday stands out, he's treated like a freaking moral treat because you lost, because you hung in with the Hornets? Like, since when, Brad? Play number two.
Well, I mean, I just think you got to maximize your offensive and defensive possessions at the end of the game, and we saw us do a great job of it, you know, against Toronto, and not quite as good tonight. But I think I did see some more what I would refer to as Celtic basketball than I've seen, at least over the better part of the season. So I think that, you know, I leave a lot more encouraged now than discouraged than I came into the game.
Aye, aye, aye. Again, he's more encouraged than discouraged. We saw Celtics basketball tonight. You lost to the Hornets.
See,
and Cody Zeller. You lost to the freaking Hornets.
He's having trouble getting through to these guys.
So how fragile must his team be if he's got to take that approach?
Yeah, he's having trouble getting through to them, so now he's going a little easier. And look, you know, they made some changes, obviously, a couple of lineup changes in there, and so maybe he's trying to do it subtly as he's taking time away from guys or whatever. And I'm not but I'm starting to worry about his ability to get through to this team.
Subtly? There was nothing subtle with the way he handled Jaylen Brown last night, and this is the thing that pissed me off the most. This was Jaylen Brown's first good game in a little while, and he had 19 minutes.
No, I meant subtly after the game, because he's making moves that are going to piss guys off.
Okay, so but in the game, with the way Jaylen Brown played, I don't know, use your eyes, Brad. You're the coach. What? You're just going to limit him in the night because the way he's played previously? Okay, maybe he's getting out of this funk. Play him more. He was actually aggressive going to the net last night. 19 minutes? That's on him.
Well, you know what he was doing. He benched Gordon Hayward to start the game, but he had to make sure Hayward got his minutes. Hayward was in there for the final five.
Right.
Hayward was in. Hayward played 31 minutes. He was 1-for-6 from the floor, 1-for-5, whatever his stats were. So Gordon Hayward got all of Jaylen Brown's minutes, even though Jaylen Brown was going and Gordon Hayward wasn't. Why, Murray?
Well, because this is his binky.
This is the teacher's pet. So yeah. This is...
He picked him up at Logan in his Prius.
This is the second guess. That's the second guess for Stevens that... He knows he has to make some moves in the starting rotation, and so Gordon Hayward gets it, but...
They're ultimately a mirage.
He still plays the same amount of minutes Gordon Hayward does. He still plays 31 freaking minutes and is on the floor to end the game.
He was awful at the end of that game.
And Gordon Hayward was useless in this game.
I've got no problem with Jaylen Brown taking a seat. None. Zero. With the way Jaylen Brown has played here in the early part of the year.
How about last night?
Okay, so fine. He played better last night. Great. Do it again, and then you'll get minutes at the end of the game. It doesn't just happen on a night-to-night basis.
What has Gordon Hayward done to earn minutes?
Gordon Hayward's a better player than Jaylen Brown.
Has he done anything to earn minutes this year?
He's coming off an injury. I give him latitude.
I give him, my sympathy, but do I give him minutes?
I give him latitude. I give him latitude. I do.
Oh, boy, he was garbage in this game.
So he's a veteran player with more time in the league. I'm giving him latitude. You know what you're dealing with Hayward.
He sucked last night.
So I don't care. Jaylen Brown gets no latitude from me right now. None. And zero. You want time at the end of the game, you earn it consistently.
And then after the game, Gordon Hayward, to me, felt like I was watching the post game on NBC Sports Boston. He looked like a rattled dude. Like a rattled, affected dude. And the sound doesn't do it justice. You sort of had to watch it. But sort of a glassy-eyed, I mean, they're losing, so the whole, mood is poor. But this guy, I feel like his whole confidence is shot. The way he played, I mean, did you see the double dribbles? How many double dribbles is, double dibbles? Double dribbles.
And a travel, too,
did this guy have? Like, totally uncomfortable driving the ball. He doesn't go up with a shot when he should. They felt like they drew up a specific play for him in the last 2 minutes. He took this, really awkward, tough little runner in the lane that had no shot.
A few minutes to play, game still in balance, and the Hornets missed about 7 shots, and there was a rebound that was a foot in front of him. He made zero effort to go after it. That was the one that made me the most crazy.
I looked him at in the post, guys. This guy's a basket case. So so he's benched, right? He's benched. How's he handling the benching? Just Hayward number two there, Billy.
I'm okay with whatever I can do to help us win. So right now I got to focus on myself and getting myself better and being a better basketball player.
Okay, so again, the sound just doesn't do it justice. If you saw him actually talk, it's like, yeesh. So that stood out to me in the post game. And then Kyrie calls out his coach or Marcus Smart or some combination of the two.
I think it has more to do with their approach. Keep going.
So then that's more the coach. But the midday has been working on this great Kyrie Marcus Smart thing, which I think might have some merit, because who had Kemba Walker last night?
Marcus Smart.
And the whole game was basically, as the whole NBA is, the high screen and roll, the high pick and roll. So it's a big guy comes out to screen Marcus Smart, and then Al Horford switches on to Kemba Walker, and either Al Horford lays way off because Kemba Walker's getting to the rim, then Kemba Walker pulls up and hits a three, or Horford comes up on him strong and Walker blows by him for a drive. I mean, that was like the fourth quarter. That was the whole fourth quarter. But before the game, I'm reading now from the Globe, I believe. On Monday morning, Irving was asked about this recent stretch of high-scoring NBA games, including the 60-point game by Walker on Saturday against Philadelphia. Irving implored teams to double-team those blazing hot players, get the ball out of their hands, and make someone else score. So, they call it... blitzing, like you'll blitz a guy. Double team, blitz, get the ball out of his hands, do something to get the ball out of the hands of the guy that's about to score 60. He said this before the game. 10 hours later, the Celtics were in an eerily similar situation against Kemba Walker, trying desperately to protect the lead against a player who can score in bunches. Walker quickly eliminated a 10-point deficit as he scored 18 of Charlotte's 20 points in the game-deciding run, 18 of 20, and the Celtics were helpless. Regardless of whom they chose to defend Walker, he finally sent the Celtics to another disheartening defeat with a three-pointer over Horford to clinch the win. Irving's quote, he did exactly what we talked about this morning. He came off every pick and roll and put our bigs in some tough positions to guard him in those high pick and rolls. He did exactly what we thought he was going to do. Usually, you just go to a double team or something to get the ball out of his hands. But we felt pretty comfortable with Marcus and Al guarding him one-on-one. We just have to live with the results after that. So he's calling up Stevens, I think.
Yeah, look, I didn't even consider the smart part of that. It's all added in.
So there's a smart piece in
there. But I think it's got more to do with Stevens because the coach is the one who calls for double teams. So, you know, Smart can guard him all he wants. Walker's a tough cover. Like, that's a brutal one. He's so damn quick. So, and that's really one of the things that Smart lacks. In that way, it's a bad matchup for Marcus Smart. What they were doing is oftentimes they would run Walker underneath the basket. He'd give up the ball. They'd run him under the basket without the ball, and then he would turn around and come back out either around a screen or a double screen even. And then he would get the ball and fire away on a switch. Like, and he would, and they were going at Horford too, because it happened even when Tony Parker got the ball in the final minutes of the game.
He looks slow.
Horford. Yes, they went at Horford. They went at him hard, because Parker hit two of his shots over Horford too.
And then Kyrie calls out the approach after the game.
Yeah, so this is star player syndrome in the NBA, and this is why I'm worried about Stevens. What are you going to do, tell Kyrie to shut up? You can't. Otherwise, he wants out. He's not signed.
What are you going to do, sit down Gordon Hayward, who's completely useless? Nope. He's your guy. You picked him up in the Prius. Gave him a ton of money.
So, I still don't have a problem with that one.
So he's got another player going, Jaylen Brown. Not that he's been going all year, but he was going last night. And he keeps Jaylen on the bench because he's got to keep his guy in the lineup.
I hated it.
They got to figure that out. Like, yeah. They got these little things.
And I understand, like Maz is saying, look, Brown's been bad here for a bit, but now he's getting it going. Like, you know, you can't hold it against him. You can't have an extra grind against this player who is having a good game. Like, 19 minutes? That seems criminal.
You got to win some games.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, though. And he's played like ass the whole year, if you ask me. So all of a sudden, he has one good night, and you're going to revert? Like, yeah. He made the plan before the game to shake it up. So stick with it for a night and see what it looks like.
Well, maybe they should have used Tommy Heinsohn's strategy to stop Kemba Walker last night. I don't know if did you see it.
Punch him.
Yeah, punch him.
It's kind of an old-school approach. But either way, issues. Moral victories by losing to Charlotte? Charlotte. And Cody Zeller? Tyler Zeller? That wasn't the same guy?
Cody, the other one.
I don't care. He was painful to watch.
For all I know, it could have been Fuzzy Zeller.
Whoever. Fuzzy Bear. Oh, my God. Issues with the Celtics. Your thoughts on them right after this.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When he gets going like that, just is it tough to stop him or just...
No, I mean, usually you just go to a double team or something simple to get a ball out of his hands, but felt pretty comfortable with Marcus and Al guarding him one-on-one, and we just live with the results.
Talked about it before the game. You blitz him, you double him, you keep the ball out of his hands. And he's asked about Kemba Walker going off last night. He says, well, that's usually what you do. Felt comfortable with Marcus and Al one-on-one, and you live with the results. So, I don't know if he's got a case there or not. The fact that he's saying it to me is what's significant.
Yeah, look, last night, I mean, given the way Walker's going right now, he does have a case. Of course he does. I mean, the guy scored over 100 points in the last two games. Like, so when a guy's rolling like that, you got to get the ball out of his hands. Now, the irony is that Tony Parker made the last two, I think, right, to really stick it to him. But on one of those in particular, they switched off and got him on Horford. Teams are, they're attacking Horford. The Jazz did it the other night with the alley-oops. So teams are exploiting Horford's lack of athleticism.
Okay, thoughts on the green. And we can mix them with your football thoughts. You're still on the board, so we'll mix them together. Here's Sean in New Hampshire on the Celts, though. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Sean.
Hi. I'm just calling because I have been agreeing with you guys all season that the Celtics they started off on the wrong foot, and it's been the coach. He just doesn't know how to coach. He has one of the best point guards in the league, and he seems to not know how to make his team right with the best point guard in the league that's won a championship. And he, you know, takes them out on defense to only see them drop a three at the end of the game, throw him in, and then want him to make a miracle point on baskets.
Okay, so I don't know if I totally agree with you. Is his management of Irving? The management on Irving is, I don't know, fine. He comes off the – she's complaining that he comes off the floor in defensive sets.
So they do that sometimes with Irving.
I'd like that. He's not a good defensive player.
Yeah, they do that sometimes.
No. Here's the issue. This was a potential issue that we brought up and others brought up, and that is Stevens has never had to manage a star-laden, ego-ridden NBA team. Your classic elite NBA team that has egos and entourages and contractual needs and marketing needs and egos. And he's never dealt with that. From the day he got here from Butler, he's had a de facto college atmosphere on his team, because he's either had just sort of NBA journeyman role guys who are good grit guys like Jay Crowder, guys like that, or he had kids. And so he was able to manage it the same way. And people asked, would he be able to handle the egos and the needs of an NBA superstar team? And the answer is, he's still figuring it out. He's not there yet.
I mean, to me, that's the issue, particularly on the offensive end. Like, Stevens trying to figure out, how do I keep everybody happy? And this is why I said, you come up with a rotation where you squeeze some guys out. You don't keep everybody happy. It's impossible.
But choosing to squeeze Brown last night in favor of Hayward was not the right call. I mean, I see what you're saying, and I see what the approach there, because Jalen needs an attitude adjustment, no question about it. But Hayward's not right yet. He's just not right. He's not there. And he gets bent. Brad takes him out of the starting lineup last night, but I think Baines played 7 minutes or something.
He did. So it was a little more than that, I think.
But. So it's like, what's the point? Well, I mean, you're not really changing the mix there. You're just sort of, you know, maybe that's just sort of the toe in the water to say, all right, here comes some changes. Hayward's going to be the first that suffers it, but I'm really not going to impact him because he's going to play the same amount of minutes. He's going to finish the game, even though he's done nothing to – really nothing to deserve the minutes in this game. Turn the ball over, double dribble, travel, clank, you know. So it's like Brad started to make the move, but then pulled back from really doing the whole thing, which shows you he's got to learn he can't make everybody happy.
Yeah, so that part of it's fair. But I think, you know, NBA players, for whatever reason, put stock in starting the game. So there's a message there, right? There's a message there to Brown. Get your ass in gear. You're not going to play as much. And you know what? Again, and I don't feel that way just about Brown, by the way. I feel that way about Rozier. He played under 20 minutes last night, too. Too bad. And he played better last night.
And then Terry Rozier on Twitter today does what? Does he ask for a trade? Like, something here.
It was a cryptic tweet he put out around 9:41 this morning, and I immediately read into it because this is what I do. But Terry Rozier tweets, "Let's do us all a favor." All in caps. "Let's do us all a favor. Dot, dot, dot. And trade me, because I don't want to be here, because I hate Kyrie Irving."
You're saying that second part. The only thing the tweet said is, "Let's do us all a favor."
Yeah, let me editorialize here. "Let's do us all a favor and trade me, because I hate Kyrie Irving. Let's do us all a favor, because you don't have minutes for me. Let's do us all a favor, trade me, so I can go play for my big contract, and you can back up the Brinks truck, because I'm Isaiah Thomas 2.0. Let's do us all a favor and trade me." Now, a lot of people immediately freaked out, like I did, when I saw this tweet, and he followed it up to try to put out the fire, saying, "I forgot you all get happy feet. I wasn't talking about me. Chill with the bad talk."
What was he talking about?
Well, again, he wants to be traded because he hates Kyrie Irving.
I'm just saying, why didn't he clarify? Neil on the road, what do you got for us on the Celts?
Before I get on the Celts, real quick, you had a couple of great shows last week. Baseball, real quick. They need to go...
Neil, I can't go back to baseball. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to divert back to baseball.
Let's go to the green.
Green. Go green.
Okay. What they need to do, we made the Eastern Finals last year, okay? And it is the coach. Stevens is like a wish this year. He needs to go back and cut back on just eight guys and go back to the starting team that took us to the Eastern Division Finals. The difference, you get Kyrie in there. You take your pick. I know Maz is kind of bummed out on Jaylen Brown, but you either take him in the starting lineup or you take Rozier.
Okay, so let me take your first comment. Murray, has Brad Stevens been a wuss this year?
A wuss? No, that's strong.
That's what he said.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I think so. A little bit.
He's trying to keep everybody happy.
I think it's fair. I mean, strong, but I think he's trying to keep everybody happy.
And you can't do it that way. This is why I say guys earn their minutes. So I understand he's got a lot of different things to do between developing Brown and Rozier, but clearly they told the players ahead of time they were going to make a change. They put Baines in the lineup. Brown comes out. Is it a coincidence that Brown played better?
Was it Hayward that came out?
I'm sorry, Hayward came out. You're right. And Rozier got, but Brown got less time as a result of it, and Rozier got less time as a result of it.
No, but this is what I'm saying. So he tried to have it. He said, Hayward's coming out of the starting lineup, but Brown's really going to be the one that's impacted. He still gets his start because that's important. And so who are you choosing? You tried to split the baby.
Yeah, the optics say it's Jaylen Brown, but ultimately, if you paid attention to the game, he went with Gordon Hayward because he got his usual minutes.
31 minutes.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Okay, but I look at it this way. Which guy is more important in the team right now?
Who's up going? They're the same.
Right. Hayward.
They're the same.
Hayward's more important in the team.
Yes, why?
Hayward's a better player. He's got higher upside right now.
Do we know that with coming off this injury and how he's looked?
Well, you got to find out.
They need to start stacking wins. I don't care who's on the floor.
Yeah, in 3 years, Brown might be the better player. Right now, it's Hayward. And when I say right now, this year, okay, he might not be today. But although Brown has played like garbage, too, but in 2 months, Hayward's a better player. No?
I'm not convinced of that.
I am.
I mean, he should be, but maybe he's not the same. Maybe he's just not the same guy. That happens. You have injuries, and you're not the same.
The Hayward thing's an issue with Brown because there's precedent there. Remember, the night he was out against Milwaukee a few weeks back at home, it might have been Jaylen Brown's best game of the year. When he doesn't have the shadow of Hayward behind him, Brown goes off like he started to do last night, but got limited because the coach had the wink, wink, nudge, nudge with his boy saying, well, you're not going to start, but you're going to get your minutes.
We continue with your calls on this. The Patriots, the NFL stuff, that game last night, all of it on the board, I promised, right to you after Murray's update. There was some breaking news on the Bruins today, and it wasn't good. Here's the news.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yes, the ominous news from the Bruins. They announced a forward, Patrice Bergeron, sustained a rib and shoulder injury during the second period of the Bruins Stars game last Friday in Dallas. So that's what that upper body injury was, rib and shoulder. And now Patrice Bergeron going to be reevaluated in about 4 weeks. Bruins back in the ice tomorrow night. They'll be in Detroit to take on the Red Wings. Kemba Walker went off 43 points, giving him 103 points in his last two games. As the Hornets were just the latest team to defeat the Boston Celtics. 117-112 was the final last night. Tomorrow, Celtics host the New York Knicks at TD Garden with a 7:30 tip-off. Another day, another drama in the NBA. J.R. Smith and the Cleveland Cavaliers have mutually agreed for him to leave the team as both sides try to work out a trade. Philadelphia 76ers second-year guard Markelle Fultz out until he sees a shoulder specialist next week. Red Sox lefty David Price named the recipient of the American League Comeback Player of the Year Award today. Atlanta Braves pitcher Johnny Venters took home the National League honors. Red Sox have also acquired reliever Colton Brewer from the San Diego Padres today from minor league infielder Esteban Quiroz. And after 21 seasons and over 3,000 hits, Texas Rangers third baseman and one-time Red Sox, Adrian Beltre announced his retirement from baseball. Headlines are brought to you by Clear Path for Veterans New England. Join Clear Path for Veterans as they work to reduce the stress of the holidays. Go to clearpathne.org, clearpathne.org, to learn how you can donate. This is Jim Murray on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next headlines in 30 minutes, and get Sports Hub headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice activated speaker.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
phones, as promised. Steve in Billerica has been holding on a Patriots thought. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, listen. The coach gave away a huge piece of this team by giving away all those draft picks, right? Then what he did in the Super Bowl, he graded no better than an F in the whole offseason, right up until the roster, right? Shouldn't be a secret why I do this, but at the age of 41, I am 7-3, headed to the playoffs with a decent seed. I won 6 out of the last 7. So, Maz, I want to ask Maz this. What else? Don't look for Mr. Brooks. I call Thugger Mr. Brooks with his glasses
Steve,
on.
Steve, just ask the freaking question, will you? Oh, God, you're trying to really bug the crap out of me.
All right, Maz, well, answer this. What else do you expect out of Brady? You tell me. What else do you expect?
I expect him to play better than average statistically in the league right now, which is what he is.
All right, well, stats are one thing, but he runs the offense. He has to get the ball, to the
other players. What does that mean, he runs the offense?
Well, what do you expect the quarterback does? He's a pivot man and a circle jerk. He gets the ball to the players so they can do it.
Steve, I'm going to let you go with that.
Can't say I've heard that term before.
So we had to drop it.
Yeah.
We'll try and clean it up for you because that was...
He's a wordsmith.
I've never heard that before. I got newfound respect for Steven Billerica.
I think we can easily edit that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's the pivot man in the circle session.
Yeah, how about just the circle?
Of mutual admiration.
Circle bleep.
He's a circle session. He's the pivot man in the circle session. I guess you got to have one, but not really. I thought it was a full circle. Anyway, the whole personnel thing, definitely there's been a drain in talent and the loss of first-round picks, but don't leave out the cheating, too, because that took a first-round pick from you. But from other various sake, they haven't had hardly any production from first- and second-round picks for years. So, true, no problem. I've still seen Brady do a hell of a lot more with a hell of a lot less than he's been given this year.
You've been more critical of Brady than I have.
No question.
So Stephen Billerica should take it up with you.
His line's been good. He doesn't have a bad line. A lot of years, it takes half the season before Dante Scarnecchia figures out the line. So Brady's had to deal with a far worse offensive line than he's dealt with this year. And I think same with his weapons. I think they may be down in some respect, but nothing that he hasn't seen before. Some new names, some new faces. Gronk's out, Edelman's in. Last year, Edelman was out and Gronk was in. And Cooks was a new face. And he deals with this all the time. So I don't think that... if the conditions around him have depreciated, they've depreciated maybe 10%. He's dropped about 20%. So you give me the that I'm complaining about the gap. He should be a little bit worse given the conditions around him. Not a lot worse, which is what he's been. So you explain to me the a lot worse, Steve, and anyone else.
Yeah, Steve, take it up with Mike. Mr. Brooks.
Just clean it up a little bit. Although that was very creative. Pete in Delaware on the Celtics. Are you alarmed, Pete?
Oh, I'm very alarmed. And, Mike, you called it a while back about what you started to call it. You said you were worried about Gordon Hayward, but I'll take it a step further. I was worried about how Gordon Hayward would come back, his ego. But the young guys, I did not anticipate, the young guys being as egotistical as they are. They all think they deserve the ball. And I don't see how this is going to work in – I don't blame Brad, but I'm scared about how he's going to manage egos that he's never had to before.
It's all about them settling in and finding their roles and accepting their roles, and they're not there yet, and the coach hasn't been able to get them there yet. So still a ways to go, but we'll see. I was worried about Hayward off the floor. He needed his headlines and his pub, and because he's, very much cognizant of his brand and interested in his brand. I feel like it's an on-the-floor thing with him so far. Like, I'm far more concerned about how he looks on the floor than the off-the-floor thing. Like, he hasn't even gotten to a place where the off-the-floor thing becomes an issue because he's been such a basket case most of the time on the floor. So that's my concerns about Hayward haven't even come up yet. He can barely play half the time, it feels
so,
like.
So, again, I'm concerned at the moment with Stevens and his ability to manage this thing. Like, I'm with the caller. I think the young guys are the bigger issue. And you're talking about guys who've been in the league for a couple of years and all of a sudden think they're superstars and they should be getting the ball in crunch time. And that's a hyperbole, but you understand what I'm getting at. Hayward was signed here to be an integral part. It got derailed in year one. So now you got to work back to that. So that's all my feeling is on Hayward. And as for Brown, and I even include Tatum in this, but Tatum passed Brown. So if you want to say one of the young guys has elevated himself and from the pack, then to me, it's Tatum. Fine. But even so, they all got to take a back seat now to Kyrie. And they all get, and to some degree, they got to integrate Hayward.
You know, you asked me yesterday, what do I think is wrong with the Celtics? Can you sum it up? And I couldn't. Because I think it's more about individual guys not reaching their spot or not reaching, you know, where they can be as players. Or guys have taken a step back. Brown's taken a step back. Hayward doesn't even look like he's, you know, near the same guy. No one's fault. But so I started to think about it. And then I came up with this last night. Who plays well together? Like, who plays? At the end of the Toronto game, I saw Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum do a little two-man stuff. But I don't remember them doing much of it outside of that. I feel like Irving and Horford have at times played off each other. Other than that,
I feel like Irving and Hayward actually play okay together.
I haven't felt it. I haven't felt that. I've felt Irving and Horford at times come out in the second half and say, it's just you and me.
Okay, but you know what's required?
And there was that one little flourish where I felt it was Kyrie and Tatum were both sort of going at the same time at the end of Toronto. But other than that, who's playing well together?
I feel like they play better when Baines is on the floor, because if he's in the paint, you know, guys will go to him, and it kind of sucks everyone to him, and it opens up at the perimeter.
And how do you get only 7 minutes last night?
Well, that's on the coach.
Okay, but you know what is required for two people to play well together, or more than two? A clear order of what goes first. So that when that happens, Kyrie shoots first. If they double Kyrie, the ball goes to Tatum. Like, and I'm making it very simple here, okay? But the point is, there's an option A, there's an option B, and then there's an option C. Horford can play well with anybody because he's not a scorer first. So forget Horford. It's the other guys who have to have the ball in their hands. Who's the first option? It should be Kyrie.
And you think there's some confusion on that? Because I don't.
I do think there's some.
I feel the confusion starts with who's next. But I think most guys defer to Kyrie.
Okay, so maybe it is about who's next. But I even see it a little bit with Kyrie and Tatum. I see at times Kyrie looking at Tatum and putting his hands out, and Tatum's giving him the ball. Like, so, and I'm not saying it's got to be 100%, but I think sometimes it's there too. And that this is a problem. They got to figure that out.
They're 9-8. And they...
And it looks like a mess.
They lost to a really mediocre team last night. I mean, I love how now everyone's pumping up Kemba Walker, who is really little Isaiah Thomas 2.0. It's the same guy, right? And what else do they have on that team? It's like, that is a real middling group there in Charlotte. And you lose to them, and the coach has to come out and talk like they had some sort of moral victory? Like, wow. Wow, that is...
See, I think if they get their offense together, their defense will come, because everybody will be able to have clarity. I feel like the confusion's on the offensive end. So the defense, the effort's a problem, but I think half the time they're on defense going, I didn't get the ball again. Like, to me, I think they're all preoccupied with the offense. They can't figure it out.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, this wasn't an inconsistent night. This was a special performance that beat us. You know, again, I think sometimes you have to take your hat off to him. It's a good team. It's a well-coached team. They play really hard, and he's, you know, on a great run. So I try to look at things objectively. Saturday night was disappointing in a number of ways. Tonight, we saw more of what we want to be.
Moral victories. That's how fragile they are, and what a rough start they're off to. 9-8, and they lose in Charlotte, and it's a moral victory. Wow. We all thought it was possible. They might get off to a scratchy start trying to figure things out, but Did anyone think it would be this bad?
No.
No.
9-8, the way that they're trying to scrap these games together, and if it's offense working one night, it's not the defense like last night, or vice versa, or there's complete no-shows like Utah. Like, I knew they would take their lumps, and the schedule was a little difficult to start, but this is terrible.
Yeah, you know, going back to last year when Hayward went down, right, one of the things we said, well, the young guys will benefit, and they did, except that now I think you're paying for it, because now they think they're farther along in their development than they really are. Or they now need to go backwards to a different point in time and accept a lesser role than they think they're ready for. Like, that's a huge transition back. It's, you know, look at Rozier. Like, that's the easy one. He's a starter. He's scoring 25 points a game in some playoff games last year. You know, the whole scary Terry blah, blah, blah. He's a focus. Now, all of a sudden, you're just a bench guy. And not only that, but you're probably behind Marcus Smart. Like, to rewind that whole thing is going to take some work, and this is where it's on Stevens. Sorry, but you got to tell the players this, and this is what we're going with. So sit tight. Your time will come. I just don't know when it's going to be. And I don't know if he's doing that. Maybe he is, and maybe they're just not accepting it. But to me, it goes back to those young guys having to move backwards now.
We talked about Celtics fans saying, well, the Warriors are off to a slow start. Doesn't matter. Good teams can get off to a slow start, and it doesn't matter. People have now brought up that the Miami Heat in LeBron James's first year down there went 9-8 to start the year.
Yeah.
LeBron James's Miami Heat went 9-8 to start the year.
And we were all over them.
And they went to the NBA Finals that year and lost, but they went to the Finals. Harvard back there brought up another example. Last year's Oklahoma City Thunder. They started out 8-9.
They were bad at the beginning, yeah.
Not 9-8, but 8-9, but similar. So, why can't this team be the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Well, they can be.
Because he says, while Hayward obviously isn't Carmelo Anthony, both guys were expected to start, even though they probably shouldn't have. And over the first 17 games, they also have some statistical similarities. They're shooting roughly the same from the field. Actually, Boston's shooting worse. Both below league average. They're both giving up the same amount of field goal percentages, both below league average. Conclusion, both teams started below average offensively and above average defensively and struggled to win games. Could the Celtics be this year's Thunder?
Sure.
So, like, there are teams that have big talent mixes that come together, or, in other words, never come together. So, I don't think that's going to be this team. But for every Miami Heat example you give me, there's an Oklahoma City Thunder to counter you with.
Yep.
So, that's some Harvard back there.
And remember, Carmelo's gone now. Like, you know, in a couple of places. But anyway.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Jim in Weymouth is going to agree with Kyrie Irving on the defense the Celts played last night. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, well, so that was so infuriating to watch. I mean, I wanted to get through the TV and double team on myself. But I think that...
Jim, I love you. Thank you for the call. Thank you for holding on. Honestly, I mean it, but I just can't take that phone.
Did you make that out?
Yep, hold on.
So I couldn't tell.
Ralphie with the soap in his mouth.
I couldn't tell whether you actually were able to hear what he said and thought it was funny.
Get the stuff out of your mouth and hold the phone like a pizza, okay? You're not going to be able to listen unless you put the speaker function on. Hold it like a pizza. Put it right up to your mouth. And that's how you speak into a cell phone to Felger and Maz. He said that the lack of double teaming is infuriating. Again, Kyrie Irving before the game says, when he's asked about all these guys that are going off for big nights, well, you know, we should be blitzing these teams. We meaning the NBA. Like, the NBA's got to get into blitzing these guys, double teaming these guys, getting the ball out of their hands, as opposed to just playing them straight up and letting them go off for 50 points. And then that happens to them.
Well, he knew what the game plan was going in, and he didn't like it. That's why he said it before the game.
Bingo. Bingo. And then after the game, Walker goes off. They never change their defensive approach. And Irving basically calls out the coach, Marcus Smart, one or the other. So, you know, add that to the list.
Well, they love that whole positionless basketball. Why? Because it allows you to switch and you don't have to double team, right? And you don't get caught with a mismatch. You just keep moving. So they don't, clearly they don't like the double team, but in a case like last night, you got to do it.
Anthony in Arlington. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I want to talk about Gordon Hayward. I mean, he has come back physically, but mentally, he is not the same player. And for the amount of minutes he's getting, I don't understand how Brad Stevens is letting this happen.
So last night was a mistake. I think last night Stevens played it wrong. He has Hayward on the bench to start, and Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup, right? And right. Jaylen Brown played well. Gordon Hayward didn't, offensively anyway. I mean, I can't tell you away from the ball and stuff like this, but offensively, he was either 1 for 5 or 1 for 6. He double dribbled twice that I saw, maybe a third time that I didn't, was not in sync. Yet Gordon Hayward ended up getting 31 minutes and Jaylen Brown ended up getting 19. I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, why don't you just have Jaylen Brown go to the bench to start the game then, if that's what he was doing? So was he trying to, again, make everybody happy by, well, I'll bench one, but give him less minutes. I'll keep one in the starting lineup, but he's going to get, you know what I mean? Like,
it just felt hollow, and he didn't use his eyes because, again, Brown was being aggressive. He was having a good game. You ride the hot hand. You need to get a win right now. And instead, it just felt like, oh, I hear them talking. I'm doing things. See? I've sent Hayward to the bench. I've heard talk of this. Hayward to the bench, but you're still going to get 30 minutes tonight.
And I just see, again, Hayward, and then in the post game, he looked little vacant.
See, I think they need to get Hayward through it. I don't care if Brown sits. I don't. I mean, to me, Brown and Rozier should sit.
We've got Brian in Florida on Brad Stevens. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Two major points. They're going to get Russell in the locker room and talk about what it means to be a Celtic. I mean, unselfish creativity, like Tommy said last night, humility. Second thing.
Brian, can I just stop you? I'll let you go again, but I just... Do you think the Celtic, do you think Tommy Heinsohn and the Coos and Bill Russell and Bill Sharman, rest his soul if he's not with us, so I don't know. Like, do you think Jaylen Brown, who grew up where and has no idea about any of that crap, he never saw the Miller Lite commercials, and he went around for the 60s, I'm sorry. It's like, do you think that has any impact on these kids?
No, but the idea of playing team basketball does need to be emphasized.
Of course.
They're not getting it.
So bring in, here's the problem. Jason Tatum, I guess, gravitated towards Kobe Bryant.
I would say bring in Garnett.
Never mind. Right, bring in Garnett. Thank you. There's a better one. Much better one.
Bring in Garnett. He'll get the message across.
Bring in Garnett. Never mind the Coos and Bill Russell. Please. So as I dump on the guy, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drop you, that is what they need. They need guys to find their roles and subjugate, especially the ones that need to subjugate themselves. That's Stevens's charge right there. You've got to figure that out.
They're not going to be 20-point scorers. They're not. They're probably going to have two guys on this team that score a lot. Maybe three, but really two, and it's going to be Irving and Tatum. Hayward's going to be doing other things, but his scoring average is going to go down. And so what they all need to do is accept the reality that their points are going down.
John in Boxford, quickly.
Hey, how you doing? I think they're missing continuity. Every time I watch the game, there's four or five different guys out there in a couple minutes. Like, there's no continuity. And then the other thing they're missing, I think, is aggressive basketball.
Agreed.
On, you know, with defense. Like, they have five finesse guys out there. They're like five finesse guys. None of them have that edge.
So I don't know if it's that or just the way they're playing or what they're putting into it. They're not as tenacious. Their defensive numbers are good. Like, somehow they've gotten good defensive numbers, but just watch them play. They're not half as tenacious, it feels like, as they have been the last couple of years.
I feel like the numbers are skewed because early on the defense was okay or the numbers were good. And I feel like in the last, I don't know, half dozen games, they haven't been good. I think they've gotten worse in that way. And again, last night they got picked on. Horford got picked on last night. And Smart plays hard. Like, I don't have any issue with... I feel like Smart is one of the few guys on the team right now that's doing what he always does.
So, to me, he's the one that should be in the starting lineup. He's the one.
But I feel like he gets it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Smart looks at it and goes, I know what my job is. I'm going to go out and do it every night.
Yeah.
So, I look at him and say, I don't have any issue. I don't really have an issue with Kyrie either. I think Kyrie's playing his... And for the most part, so is Horford. It feels to me like a lot of the other guys somehow think their roles have changed and they haven't. Like, and that to me, nothing bugs me more than a guy who's focused on getting points instead of playing within the team framework. And I understand that sometimes it allows you to freelance. I get that. But to me, it's, you just see a lot of guys seem to be focused on scoring.
Okay, we'll continue with your Celtics calls. We do want to reset our thoughts on last night's truly amazing Monday night football game. And, well, how that relates to the Patriots, how that relates to the Patriots and the Chiefs, whether you think, was that even a good game? Did you like that game? Did you think it's good for football or not good for football? Do you think the Patriots the Patriots, this current Patriots team, is equipped to play that kind of game. All those issues coming off of Monday night last night after Murray's 90-second update. Again, no commercials here. There's Bruins news in here, and then we'll be right to you with this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.